Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome to another episode of Podcast on Fifth Avenue. I'm Jenna Harner, joined by, of course, Taylor Haas. Jordan is not with us today, although she's always, you know, we always carry her spirit with us too. So when we're trash talking, I don't know how to say trash talking, but when we're talking about the Flyers in a couple segments to come, know that she is here in spirit and she fully co-signs everything that we say in terms of that aspect. But Taylor, let's kind of dive into things because right before we started recording here, the Penguins broke a little bit of interesting news. I know a lot of people are excited about this one, but big Jeff Carter is staying in Pittsburgh a little bit longer than I think some people anticipated. He signed a contract extension here.
Yeah, 2 years. A bit of a surprise for Carter just because I feel like we didn't even know if he was going to keep playing beyond this year. I mean, even when he got traded to Pittsburgh, you know, he had last year and then this year. And I remember his first introductory press conference, he was asked, like, are you even going to play next year? And he laughed and he's like, yeah, I'm going to play. But beyond that, you don't know, is he going to want to go back out, you know, west, be closer to his family because they're still in L.A.? Does he maybe want to go to a team that maybe is more of a shore contender, I guess you could say, because, you know, the core is getting older. He's also pretty old, too. But, yeah, again, a great fit here for the Penguins. I think third line center, he's the perfect guy for that. You think of just, like, how many players they've gone through looking for, like, a real third line center in recent years and how costly that experiment has been. You think, like, even like Derek Brassard alone, like, how many, like, prospects picks did they lose making that move and then undoing it? And then now that they have a guy that actually fits in that role and can move up top six in the wing if that's needed, it's just a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, and it was so funny. I mean, you mentioned that we didn't know if he was going to play. Like, I remember everybody talking when they protected him in the expansion draft, and everyone's like, why would you protect him? Like, he might not even play next year. And now I just kind of, like, we look back and we chuckle a little bit. But, I mean, I think also you have to look at, too, just the intangibles. We always hear Mike Sullivan talk about that. We always hear, you know, a lot of the players talk about it, too. But the veteran leadership, what he brings to this group, like, they really love that, especially with, you know, I mean, obviously you have the core, but I think he's kind of also fitting in to that core in a veteran way really well.
Yeah. And the term, I mean, the salary, great too. You know, the Penguins are in a cap crunch, and to get someone like him, because we don't know what's going to happen. You know, Malkin's going to resign, Letang's going to resign. We have no idea what the salary cap is going to look like next season. He resigned, it's just over $3 million. That's a slight raise from what they're paying him this year. It's only a $500,000 raise, but just seeing what he's, like you said, yeah, he's fit into the court, and then just the way he's been able to produce and, you know, to move up into the top six if he's needed. I just think all the intangibles, everything together, you know, about $3 million cap hit, that's really not that bad for a real third line center. And it's a 2-year deal. Normally if a player retires in the middle of a contract, it just goes away. But the kind of contract Jeff Carter signed, so it's like a 35 plus contract is what it's called. It's when a player is 30, they sign it when they're 35 years or older. It's multi-year and it's front loaded, meaning the salary is higher in the beginning and then it, you know, drops. And that's how his is structured. So when it's a contract like that, If they retire in the middle, there is a penalty, so it doesn't just go away. So for him to sign this kind of contract and the Penguins to, you know, give him that kind of contract, there has to be a high level of confidence that he is going to play for those 2 years and he's not going to retire in the middle. So, yeah, just a great move overall.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know a lot of Penguins fans very excited and wondering if there's any Bud Light Platinum ties in here. Tuukka got the little...
Yeah, Tuukka, he signed in Boston and they shipped him like a bunch of cases of Bud Light and they signed and like they actually sent him a contract on Twitter. There was like, you know, if you win the cup, then you get this many. Like, how does Jeff Carter not get the Bud Light Platinums? He's gotten his fruit snacks. Like,
I was going to say, Welch's. Come on. Also, yeah. Welch's and Bud Light Platinum. We need it.
It might be in the fine print, but.
Oh, that's incredible. You just have to laugh. But honestly, I mean, it's definitely a very good move for the team moving forward too with how they've been playing. And that kind of leads right into our next thing we're going to talk about. I mean, yes, it's the Arizona Coyotes, but the way in which they beat the Coyotes, I think was really for me kind of an indication of where this team is right now, because the way that they've kind of gone through this stretch, they've won 17 of their last 19. Whatever the Coyotes was their sixth straight win. You're playing a lot of Western Conference teams, but we saw kind of, you know, the Winnipeg game, the couple games prior, I think from like the Vegas game, maybe even the Anaheim game to leading up to the Coyotes game, you haven't seen the best hockey from this team. And that's something we talked about a little bit last week, but this was kind of, hey, this is kind of the identity of this team. They were able to kind of bounce back and then they just got the ball rolling. I mean, there's so much we can talk about from this game too. It was unreal.
Yeah, I mean, the first period was just honestly might have been the most boring period we've seen them play at all. I mean, there's not a whole lot happening, not a whole lot of chances. And given that it was against the Coyotes who are, you know, in the Shane Wright sweepstakes, that was kind of concerning because they should not be having a period like that against the Coyotes. And then the way they did come back 6-3, Sullivan, he brought out the word stick-to-itiveness. I think that was a good example of that. But I mean, a lot to like in that game. Two crazy plays. I mean, the Crosby assist on Brian Rust, we have to talk about that first. That was crazy. It was on the power play. Rust was at the left circle. You watch the clip. Crosby didn't look at him for like a while when he was getting, you know, to the net front. But I mean, he knows where Rust is on that power play. Doesn't look, puts it between not only his own legs, but Anton Stroman's legs, just back to Rust, and Rust scores. And I mean, I asked Letang about it after the game, like, what's going through your mind when you see him, you know, just do something like that? And he's like, I mean, are you guys surprised? He's right, because Crosby manages to do these things that are, like, so unbelievable, but also, like, to be expected, and yeah. He's the only guy who can do that.
It's just fascinating. What was his goal the other day, too, where it was one of those, like, you just, it was, like, such, it was the tip-in, or it was, like, a bank or something?
Yeah, he's had like a couple redirects like recently, and then also like the like drop to like the one knee like from like a tough angle. It's just like a lot of like peak Sidney Crosby goals we've been seeing as of late. And I mean, I feel like good time to mention now he is on milestone watch. That was the 497. He's nearing 500. Just a crazy record to see from him approaching, but. That's kind of the thing you expect to see from Crosby, not really what you expect to see from Brian Boyle.
But no, like, no.
That's like, what he did.
Oh my
when
God.
He did that, I just like, I no words. I didn't know what, like, I was like, did that just happen? Like, I had to wait for the replay before, because it was like, Brian Boyle did just put it between his own legs and like lift the top shelf. That didn't just happen, right? That's Brian Boyle. That's exactly what happened.
Yep. Nope. That was like, the, I feel like I'm just saying, oh, like, oh, peak, like Chell, like NHL, like peak Chell goal. But that was what it was. It was just, and I will admit, I was not paying attention to the third period of that game. I don't know if it was on Twitter. I was full cookie baking mode. It was some birthdays at work. I'm just like, you know what? So I've, you know, had it on. I'm listening and stuff, but my attention was not there. You better believe I turned to the TV and just, I literally was like, what? What just happened? What on earth happened right there? It was one of those things. I mean, oh, I think I saw a tweet that was like, if you're the Arizona Coyotes and Brian Boyle scores that type of goal on you, like, you just have to go home. Like, it's time.
Yeah, not exactly your typical fourth line grinder type goal, but we have seen, you know, I think more, at least more offense than we've seen from Brian Boyle than I think we expected, just given his age. He didn't even play professional hockey last season at all. He's never been, you know, he's always kind of had this kind of role when he's been in the, but yeah, he's 5 goals, so he's on pace for 10. Sullivan said, you know, they kind of they hoped they would see this from him. Sullivan said, you know, he has good hands. You know, going back to the time in New York, because Sullivan was an assistant coach for Boyle in New York. So he said they kind of hoped to see this from him. And yeah, he said, you know, he's pleased with what we've seen from Boyle, and that's what they need. We've talked about depth how often and contributions throughout the lineup. I don't think they're always going to look like that, Brian Boyle going between the legs, Tom Shelf, but yeah, it's just a great thing to see from this team.
Yeah, and we'll touch on this a little bit more when we do a little bit of an injury update next segment, but obviously with the role that Boyle is stepping into right now, I mean, leading into that game, I think in the morning skate, he said something to the extent of, you know, we just have to stick to it. We really have to kind of, you know, play our game. We know what we're capable of, which you hear all the time, of course, but, you know, we have to keep doing what we're doing and we'll continue to generate those chances. And then, you know, he says that and goes out there and scores a goal like that last night or on Tuesday night. I don't know if that's a precursor or anything along those lines, but yeah, looking pretty good from him.
Yeah, I'd love to know. So he told us like a while ago that, you know, after all of his games, you know, he talks with his oldest son, like on the phone, because, you know, they're in Massachusetts. And, you know, he said, we talked to him one time after a goal before, and, you know, Brian's like hyped about this goal, and his son was like, well, I scored like, you know, 3 today in my game, like just clowning him. So like, I'd love to know what his son told him after that game, because, I mean, crazy stuff to see from Brian Boyle, but I don't know if his son had a couple more goals in his game, then maybe wouldn't be too impressed.
I think we would need to ask his son which between the legs was better, Sid's or dad's, because
his son is a Crosby fan. Boyle did tell us like what early on that he got his son a Penguins jersey and it says Boyle 11 on the back. And when his son turned it around, he was disappointed that it wasn't Sid. So I don't know. I feel like he'd still like Sid's move better than his dad's.
Oh my God. I remember seeing that clip and you could just see like the little bit of defeat in his face. Like, I mean, I get it. It's Sidney Crosby, but like, not even like this kid. It's like, I'm your dad. Hello.
Oh my God.
Oh, too funny. Well, why don't we take a quick break? We mentioned injury updates. We will come back, talk a little bit more about that, look at some of the backup goalie situation and some fun Twitter stuff. So stick with us on Podcast on Fifth Avenue. We'll be right back.
All right, and welcome back to Podcast on Fifth Avenue. So it's funny, I typically name our episodes when these go up on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to it. And the one last week, I named it The Penguins Are Finally Healthy, because they were. Drew O'Connor was the only injury at the time, and even with the depth they had, you know, he wouldn't be in the roster anyway. And we're like, this is crazy. We're going to get to see what a fully healthy Penguins lineup looks like. Literally, it was the next morning that they had a guy go down. It was Louis Domingue in the morning skate. Brian Boyle rang a shot off of his foot. Domingue didn't see it coming. He's out week to week. Right foot, we don't know what exactly. Zucker had core muscle surgery. Teddy Bluger, he got that hit from Brendan Dillon in the corner against the Jets. He had surgery to repair a fractured jaw. Aston Reese even missed a game, you know, in the last week. So all that hope about how we're going to see a fully healthy Penguins lineup, Domingue's going to compete for the backup job, didn't happen. But first, yeah, I think we should touch on the hit on Teddy Bluger. I'm assuming you saw that. Just what did you think about the hit? I thought it was a headshot. I was expecting discipline to come, and I was a little bit surprised that we didn't see it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones you almost anticipated, like, okay, if it wasn't going to be called in the moment, there was going to be some sort of like supplementary discipline from the league themselves. That didn't happen. And head coach Mike Sullivan, not too happy about that. He was full on quoting the rule book, just, you know, was saying it was the letter of the law. I mean, when you watch the hit, especially in slow motion, which I know everybody kind of has their own things of like, when you slow-mo things down, you see everything. People aren't huge fans of replay, but this was one of the ones, it's like, the shoulder into the head, into the boards. Like it was, and watching Bluger, I mean, oh man, like
that was scary.
That was a lot of blood. And I know this is classic, like, oh, you know, being afraid of blood, but that was a very, very, very aggressive hit. Intent, whatever behind it, sure, whatever your thoughts are there, but I don't know. I feel like that one should have come. I mean, that it seems like, I mean, Mike Sullivan quoted the rule book, but it is like almost to a T what the rule is. And if you're not going to have, if you're going to have rules in place, but you're not going to, you know, I mean, we know what the NHL does from time to time, but like that feels like, what clearer picture can you get?
Yeah, I know I tweet about, I had a lot of like angry Jets fans when I mentioned like he didn't leave his feet, and it's like, yeah, but he's still like, that's, you still can't hit the head
no.
with the feet on the ground. And he kept like one of his feet on the ground, but he still did kind of launch himself upwards into Bluger. Brendan Dillon's a big guy. He doesn't need to be doing that to make the hit. I just, surprised, but also not surprised that we didn't see discipline. And the explanation, because we, after that game, Sullivan said, you know, he thought it was a headshot, and he was asked, you know, what explanation did you get from the officials about, you know, why it wasn't called? And he said, they said they didn't see it. And so something like that is not allowed to be, a lot of people were like, why didn't they look at it on video? Something like that, they can't review it in the moment. But I think that's a discussion of maybe that's something we can, you know, they change the rules every summer, it seems like, and reviewing penalties was never really a thing at all. Recently, they did add, you know, if a major is called on the ice, you can review it on video, maybe rescind it or reduce it. So yeah, they're not, you know, it's not like they won't add video review or they're afraid of adding video review. So I think maybe this isn't something you can add for every single penalty, but maybe, you know, for potential head contact, if you want to look at it, I think that would go a long way for reducing it in the game, if players know that, you know, with that gray area, they're not going to get away with it as easily in the moment. So I don't know, but yeah, a tough loss in Louis Domingue too. It's such like a, you got to feel really bad for him, because this is now his third kind of major injury this season. All of them happened in practices. The first one, he missed the first 3.5 weeks or so at a training camp with an injury from camp. He played for about a month in Wilkes-Barre, was outstanding, got hurt in practice in Wilkes-Barre, missed a month, played one game in Wilkes-Barre, and then got the call up. And I mean, we've been talking the last, you know, 2 weeks about how we think he can, you know, compete for the job for the Smith, and that game in San Jose, it looked like, you know, he really could make a run for the backup job. But yeah, it's tough. I did see him later that day, and he was on crutches. He looked like he was struggling on the crutches, and I was like, like that's not good. And then since then, he now has a boot on his right foot, and he's on a scooter, the kind of scooter where like you put your knee on the scooter, and like so you're not putting any weight on your foot. It was kind of funny. I mean, we're sitting in like the media room waiting for like the availability like the following game, and he just go scooting by, like suddenly to Bing. I mean, because he was getting some speed on that thing, and I was like, was that him? But
how fast do we think it can go?
I know. I was like, you take anything that off any sweet jumps yet? Like,
is he like scooting down the hill of the arena there? Like, I mean, get up to like, you might be able to like, hit like 15, 20 miles an hour on that thing.
Donuts in the parking lot. But yeah, it's just tough to see from him. You could see it in the video of, was it Jari giving the helmet to Letang after the Coyotes win? Yep. He's in the back on his little scooter. He's got a basket in front to hold his water bottle, other stuff. So the hits just keep coming. Another injury we got to mention. Oh, yeah. I tweeted it.
That's magical.
Yeah. You got to feel awful for him. I believe like that was Nick Bonino's scooter, like, or the same scooter when he was here. He was on it for a while when he had an injury. So, I don't know. I haven't seen it since then. So, good to see them break out Nick Bonino's scooter. But before we talk about the backup goalie situation, another injury we got to mention, Bo Bennett. I don't know if we have, like, newer, like, listeners, viewers who weren't really around when he was here, but it was a running thing. The Bo was always hurt, and the worst luck – the one injury, he tore both labrums and his shoulder. That's one that stands out from celebrating a goal. Like, he celebrated, he put his arms up, skated into the glass, tore both labrums in his shoulder. And that just sums up Bo Bennett's time in Pittsburgh, I think. He was always hurt. He tweeted a picture of him in a hospital bed on Tuesday night. He said, "Home is where you make it. Just got diagnosed with being a severe case of being a huge beauty. Worst case they've ever seen," they said. Hashtag, something's never changed. And I quote tweeted it, and I was like, "So day to day?" And he said, "No, LTIR." And someone asked him, like, "No, what are you actually in the hospital for?" So he said it's an appendix. So Bo Bennett, the hits just keep coming. Bo's hurt again. But, yeah, I mean, back to the backup goalie thing. We haven't seen – well, so we saw DeSmith in Columbus. He got pulled after 20 minutes. Part of that – so that shouldn't have been his game anyway. Coming off of COVID –
no.
He'd only had one practice. That would have been Domingue's game. Domingue was going to back up. You know, it's not a back-to-back. So, yeah, he went out. Jari came in. Jari was perfect in relief. So now that DeSmith has had a couple practices, I mean, we haven't seen him since. So I don't know. We're probably going to see him here soon because they do have a back-to-back, Seattle and Detroit. But, I mean, if he has, you know, another game where he doesn't look his best and it's a real problem – I don't know what the answer is, because, again, Louis week to week doesn't seem like he's going to be back anytime soon. Anytime DeSmith has a bad game, I get fans tweeting at me, like, call up Philip Lindbergh. Philip Lindbergh has been hurt since November, and he was day-to-day for a little bit, and now he's currently longer term, so that's not going to be an option. Alex Dorio has been incredible in Wilkes-Barre as of late, but, again, he's 22, hasn't played in the NHL yet. He's not going to be a long-term backup option. Maybe he comes up as a third goalie at some point, gets in a game here. They just started him four games in 5 days on there. Crazy stuff, and he handled it well. So he's someone that maybe, like, down the line we see at some point, but, again, he's not the backup option. Right now it seems like the options are either Smith gets his stuff together. He did get new pads. Maybe that was the problem. I don't know. Now they're white with gold on the side. So look good, feel good, play good. Or they go out via trade, try to find someone. But I don't know. What do you think we see here?
I'll be really intrigued to kind of see, I mean, with the trade deadline nearing as close as it is, because how it's what? It's 1 month, 2 months? I don't know.
March. I think first week of March, I think.
Yeah, so almost a month away. That's okay. I was like, I feel like this is the right timeline. My brain is still football mode. I'm like getting back to hockey. I'm like, oh, I need all these dates, all this calendar stuff. It'll be really interesting to see, I mean, if he can turn things around here, because if, you know, what we've seen from DeSmith, and like we talked about, you know, last season, DeSmith was playing phenomenal hockey. So it's kind of that mindset of like, okay, what changed here? What's going on? Also, we heard Mike Sullivan on Wednesday kind of take a little bit of ownership and say, you know, it was kind of my fault that I put Casey out there too soon. Like, we shouldn't have done that. And he was, you know, saying the goaltending position is arguably like one of the hardest to come back from when we're talking about putting guys back in the lineup from COVID, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, just the repetition. And he was talking about, you know, the goaltender position is that spot where, you know, you need practice reps versus throwing Sid out there and saying, hey, you're okay, go get back on the ice type thing. It's a whole different world. And he talked about how he's been working with goaltenders coach Andy Kyoto a lot and just kind of what that dynamic is like. I mean, we saw, again, you saw kind of the transformation with Jari. So you feel like you want to see it's possible for DeSmith. And I think it is too. I think also, you know, a lot of it's mental. A lot of it is a really, really big part of that. We know that that's a huge part of the game. But for him, it's going to be, you know, can he get out of his head a little bit? And like you said, with the pads, look good, play good. Maybe this is what it takes for him to be like, all right, you know, we're good. Everything's fine. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I would have been intriguing, again, if Domingue didn't get hurt, to kind of see that backup battle. I'm going to be intrigued to see if they go out and get somebody, because all of a sudden, and not that this team wasn't, but everybody kind of, you know, at the start of the season looked at this team like, ooh, are they even going to make the playoffs? Is this the year the playoff streak's going to end? And now it's like, oh, wait, this team's a legitimate cup contender.
Yeah, and I mean, so when Domingue went down and the talk of, like, do they go out and get, you know, a backup really, you know, amped up, it's tough because, like, they really, you know, when they're getting healthy, there's really no cap space at all. So fans, Fleury is the name that people keep bringing up. Even so, the max the team can retain in a trade salary wise is half. He makes $7 million, which means that, you know, if they trade for him, his cap hit would be 3.5 if Chicago retains the max. They can't take that on. And some of, you know, the other options out there, you know, like Halak was a name that was thrown out there earlier on when the Canucks were bad. But now the Canucks are, like, pushing for a playoff spot. You know, probably earlier in the season, maybe you could have gotten Halak for, like, you know, prospect or draft pick because the Canucks are a young rebuilding team. And then Bruce Boudreau comes in, turns the team around. They're not that far out of a playoff spot. And at the pace they're going, like, they can get in. So, I mean, maybe that means they don't want to move Halak. Or now, if they do want to move Halak, maybe they want a player back who can help them now, which means now the Penguins would maybe have to sacrifice, you know, an asset, part of that depth. So no real answers. I think something maybe interesting to consider. So Zucker, we don't know when he's going to be back. When he had his surgery, they said no timetable yet. He's going to keep being evaluated right now, week to week. So the way long-term injured reserve works is, you know, that only benefits the team while the guy is on there. So once, you know, he's back, there's no way any of that cap relief helps you later on. It's only temporary. But if he's not going to play again this season, if for whatever reason, like, this is going to take him a while to come back from, they could Nikita Kucherov it, you know, like, long-term IR him. And then, you know, that's a lot of space to work with. And then maybe, you know, Fleury's cap hit isn't that bad. Because when they can afford it. Again, for all we know, Zucker is just going to be, like, a month or two when he comes back. But, I mean, something interesting to consider that, you know, if this turns into a Kucherov situation, that definitely could help them go out and get a backup goalie. The other name people throwing out there, Braden Holtby, that would be pretty crazy, especially because apparently the Caps looking into Fleury. If Fleury ends up on the Caps and Braden Holtby ends up on the Penguins, like, crazy stuff.
Like, what? There's some, like, time switch continuum, some, like, you know, time-space continuum, whatever that is, some something that happens if that happens. Like, maybe that's what takes us to go back to normal in entirety. Maybe that's, like, the ninth Horcrux or whatever.
It's funny. Sitting up, like, in the press box, you know, I do, like, look around, like, at the jerseys always, like, in the crowd in front of me. And it's like, if I were playing, like, bingo or whatever, like, on my board, you know, there'd be, like, a Brandon Tanev Kraken jersey. All three of Fleury's teams, being Penguins, you know, Golden Knights in Chicago, you always see them. And then a lot of Kessel Coyotes, like, Kachina jerseys. So Penguins fans have a problem moving on. Fleury, been around for a while. Kessel, the two cups, you know, there's good reason for the players that they latch on to, but, you know, if Fleury is a Cap or Arena C Caps jerseys, I think that would be the deal breaker.
That's the one step too far. That's yeah. The line, and I think you cross it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good time to wrap up this segment. We're gonna take a break, be right back, talk about a historic day for the Flyers and other fun things. All right, and we are back. And like I said, a historic day for the Flyers in more way than one. On Tuesday, the first one we got to touch on, they set a franchise record losing streak, 13 games. They've lost 13 straight. That's the most in Flyers franchise history. You know, something, when I saw that, so the Penguins hold the record for longest losing streak at 18 games, the 03-04. X-Generation Penguins did it. The Sabres actually tied it in 2021. So 18 games is the record. Two teams have it. Flyers are at 13. We're kind of in that territory of, like, are they gonna get there? And I looked at, you know, who they play, their next five games. And their next four, they play L.A., Winnipeg, and then Detroit. I think it's a home and home twice. And then game 18 is in Pittsburgh on February 15th. So the Penguins could potentially deal the Flyers a historic L, at least have them tie the record if this holds up. And, you know, the game after that is against the Capitals. So it's not an easy schedule, you know, moving forward. Detroit, the worst, you know, that group, but still Detroit has been playing better than the Flyers. So this is just something to watch for. Look forward to February 15th if that happens. And then Keith Yandel, that same game, historic night for a good reason. He set the Iron Man streak, 965 games. That's the new NHL record, most consecutive games. And you just look back when he was in Florida, didn't Quenneville want to healthy scratch him?
Yes. And then didn't he like break his jaw once? You were like some like fractured something and was like, nope, I'm coming back out. Like, I mean, that's just a phenomenal feat when you think about it. It's so many years of games and it's just like generations. You're like, it's impressive. That's really, they call it the Iron Man award, they call it the Iron Man for a reason.
Phil Kessel's pretty close. I think he's at like 940. Like he ranks third all time now. So he's could potentially pass him if Yandel misses the game. I don't think that's going to happen though, with everything Yandel's been through. The Flyers, everyone likes ripping on the Flyers. They actually have some fun people on the team. Kevin Hayes, he's a fun guy. Keith Yandel's another really fun, just personality. Anytime you see like these locker room videos, but my favorite thing that he's kind of like known for on the ice, he calls it a sonk. And it's when he goes behind, you know, his own net, he has the puck and he's waiting to, you know, start a breakout or whatever. And there's an opponent kind of waiting for him to make a move and he'll fake him out. And if the guy bites, you know, and sees the fake, he'll sonk at him. And he does it loud enough that like you hear it on the TV broadcast. And he does it several times a year. It's not just like in a, you know, a couple time thing. He did it when Florida was in Pittsburgh. It was Thomas DePaulie had just come up from Wilkes-Barre. It was only his second ever game. The Penguins were losing and it was, you know, Yandel's behind the net and Yandel sonked him. And it's like, you can't do that to the rookie because he got him. And Thomas DePaulie never played an NHL game after that. So it was funny. We were in Philly and Mike Matheson was behind, you know, his net kind of in the same position. And there's a Flyer and he tried to do and. No one even like came close to believing him. I don't know, because Matheson, would have played with Yandel in Florida. So when I saw that, I was like, is he trying to impress his former teammate? Like, it was inspired.
Like, but I can do.
Yeah, Matheson though, he's such a nice guy that like if he would have I don't know what Flyer he was trying to do it to, but if he would have believed him, he would yell like sorry, like because he's
hit him twice. Like, my bad.
Yeah, but
so perfectly spot on.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, happy for Keith Yandel just because he's a funny guy. He's a good guy. Personality, when we don't see a lot of players showing the kind of personality that he shows, but yeah, crazy that both those things happened in the same night. I don't know. How do you feel after that game if you're him? I don't know, but
yeah,
a lot of drama coming out of Philly just with potential rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it. Claude Giroux, I mean, it's kind of like up in the air what happens with him. It did come out on Wednesday that so the Flyers are pretty much leaving up to Giroux what happens with him moving forward. You know, if he wants out and wants to, I don't know, maybe win sometime in his career, like, I guess they'll look into doing that. But if he wants to stay, they're not going to unload him for picks, prospects, whatever, try to rebuild, retool. And I guess, and so Giroux, he is going to meet with his agent. His agent's Pat Brisson at the All-Star Game in Vegas and discuss his future with the Flyers. But, yeah, just crazy stuff happening in Philly.
Yeah. You have a hard time picturing the Flyers without Giroux, but at the same time, it's like the guy wants to win. Why, you know, of course, that's like, you know, no matter what any player, what any team, any player on any team says, it's a lot easier when you're winning and than when you're losing. And clearly this is a guy who, you know, is such a talent and, you know, wants to go out there and win a cup. I have a feeling he's going to go somewhere just because, and it's going to be, I mean, like, granted, you almost say you don't know how Philly will react, and then you're like, you never know. I feel like they would have a soft spot, but also, like, it's Philly. So I don't entirely know how that fan base would react, especially with a guy who's been there for so long and has done what he's done for that franchise. Yeah. This will be one of the ones too. This could be a fun trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm sure Bobby Clark's trying to figure out how to put this on Ron Hextall. We talked about it. Speaking of losing, the Sabres and the Senators. So they played those two. Yeah, Tuesday night. Today's Wednesday. We're recording this. Kind of a crazy moment. Aaron Dell, Sabres goaltender. Drake Batherson, he's on the Senators. Batherson was kind of skating behind the net. Dell had come out a little to play the puck. Weird kind of play. Dell just kind of like raised his arm into him, but he took Batherson off of his feet. Batherson went into the boards, and he's hurt now. As we're recording this, Aaron Dell, he did get suspended 3 games. Kind of crazy. How often do you see like a goalie get suspended in the league? Multiple games for like a dirty play?
Yep.
I can't think of the last time I've seen it, but just what do you think of that play?
Yeah, it was one of those for me, and I don't know. I feel like I need to watch a little bit more of it and, like, really see. But, like, it was one of those – it was, like, such a bang-bang type of play. Like, it was definitely interference. It was, you know, I agree with that. Is it suspension-worthy? And then you kind of get into the nuance here of, like, okay, well, people I'm sure on Twitter right now are yelling, oh, well, you know, he was suspended, but what's his face that hit Teddy Bluger wasn't? Brendan Dillon. So it's like – and we know consistency, and we know the NHL. But it was just one of those, to me, and you also felt so, I mean, you always feel bad in general for both players. People were really upset with Batherson. Now he's going to miss the All-Star game. He's been kind of a really good role player for that team. And then poor Aaron Dell too. I mean, I'm just saying more of like poor in terms of like the reaction, but like one of the reporters in Buffalo after that game had like told him that Batherson was hurt and wouldn't be returning, and like basically full on like broke that news to him. And he just, you could tell, I think the quote I saw was, he was like, I would never try to hurt anybody. Like, you could tell it was like a genuine shock. And he's a younger player too. Correct me if I'm wrong there. He's a younger guy. So, you know, oh man.
Yeah, it looked like it happened so fast. Maybe it looked like he was like trying to he wasn't trying to knock him off his feet, send him into the boards, but it looked like it was just something that happened so fast. So maybe, I mean, you don't have a lot of time to think about that. I don't know, wires crossed. But Murray talked about it, you know, after two on Ottawa, and you know, he said he doesn't like to, you know, call out other goaltenders, but he did bring up that, you know, like as a goaltender, you really can't get hit. You're not taking contact in any way. So skaters, they don't expect to get it from you.
Yeah.
So even, you know, something like that, which maybe might just be an interference penalty, it's not a situation where a skater is ever going to be expecting that to come. So they can't prepare for it, which maybe why, you know, Batherson got knocked off his feet, went into the board. So just tough to see. Hopefully he's not out too long. So we've talked about the Olympics a bit on here, and just, I mean, who was going to go for the Penguins, and now they're not going. Who's going to fill those spots? I went through and I looked, some pretty much all the rosters are up right now, except for I think China, which no Penguins would be on that roster anyway. But no. I mean, you look at the ex-Penguins and, you know, or ex-Penguins prospects picks that are in the Olympics, and there's a lot. I mean, I wrote about it. You can find it, DK Pittsburgh Sports, on our Penguins page. But it's like a who's who of, like, oh, that guy, or, like, I hated him when he was here. It's just, like, some of these names that are coming up. Sergei Plotnikov is the one that comes up. I mean, for Russia, he was – so when they signed him out of the KHL, it was a big deal. And, you know, I think, like, a lot of teams were interested in him. And he was, you know, big point producer in the KHL. And then he comes over to Pittsburgh and he plays 33 games. He gets 2 assists. That's it. Doesn't score. And, like, it just was not a fit. They ended up unloading him in a trade. But so he's going to be playing for Russia. He went back to Russia. He's scoring again. Like, he just didn't fit here. The guy they actually got back in that trade, Matthias Plotka, he's German, who played in Wilkes-Barre, he's an Olympian. It's funny, the team with the most, the country with the most Penguins ties, like, player-wise, is Germany, which I don't think anyone would have expected. But yeah, so Plotka, Freddie Tiffels, who he played in Wheeling and Wilkes-Barre for a year, he got called up and down 11 times in the 1 year, and then the following, he was a draft pick. So then the following year after that, after they, I was interviewing him that year, and it's like, dude, how do you keep doing that drive? And he's like, I just listen to like a podcast and kind of tune out. And I was like, what? But yeah, so the following training camp, he did ask to be released for his contract to go back to Germany. Not surprised after everything he went through here, but so good to see that he's going to the Olympics. Dominic Cahoon, who he's out of the NHL. He was in Edmonton last year. He signed in Switzerland this year. 3-year deal, so he's going to be there. And then Tom Kuhnackle, who's his first year out of North America. He's playing in Sweden. So a lot of guys to watch for. I think it's interesting. Five guys who played in Wheeling in the ECHL, the Nailers have five Olympians. The Nailers have the most the ECHL record for most players who have gone on to the NHL. So good history, maybe not so much as of late in Wheeling. They've been kind of bad for a couple of years, but a lot of, you know, good guys who come through there, developed in Wheeling. Casey DeSmith started there on an ECHL contract, but five Olympians, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, just a couple of good stories. The most recent one is Yannick Weber, who I'm sure, like, does anyone remember Yannick Weber? So the Penguins signed him last year when they had a bunch of defensemen hurt.
Yep.
They still had to play, I think, a defenseman short that first game after because he got stuck in a snowstorm on his way to joining the team. Remember that?
Great. I hear that story all the time.
And then he played two games in New York, and then he spent the whole year on the taxi squad. So that's Yannick Weber's Penguins tenure. He's an Olympian for Switzerland. But, yeah, just crazy stuff. Gonchar is going to coach for Russia. He's an assistant coach. And then current Penguins director of player development and former Penguins player, he won a cup with them in 91, Scott Young. I don't know how they draw the line of who is and isn't allowed to coach in the Olympics with NHL ties, because he's employed by the Penguins now, but he's going to be an assistant coach for Team USA. So if you're a Penguins fan and looking for reasons to stay up to watch the Olympics, there's quite a few. Most of them on Germany somehow.
So is Germany the secondary team that people are going to root for? I mean, you know what? Hey,
yeah.
Anybody, I feel like it's obviously Team USA, but I feel like everybody's like, anybody but Canada. I'm like, all right, that's fair. That's fair. We'll allow it. And Russia.
Yeah.
There's ties. There's ties everywhere.
Yeah, so the U.S., just to touch on it, two ties. David Warsawski, who had three separate stints with the Penguins. Like, he signed, and then he got claimed off of waivers, and then signed again, and then he got traded, and then he got signed again. So David Warsawski was captain of Wilkes-Barre last year. He's going to be on Team USA, a defenseman. And then Kenny Agostino, he's a forward. He never played for the Penguins. He was a draft pick. They traded his rights away in the Jerome Iginla trade. So many like bad trades the Penguins have made that representatives are in the Olympics, Plotnikov, or like signing like Plotnikov. And then another one that I know fans hate. So Canada, Alex Grant, who played in Wilkes-Barre for a while, Ben Street, who played in Wheeling and Wilkes-Barre, Daniel Winnick on he's a forward on Canada. He really didn't play in. He was a free agent. He was a signing in February, and then he left via free agency. I don't know if you'd say he's not like a real enforcer. I think they were expecting like at least some like point production out of him too. That really didn't happen. But just looking at like what they gave up for him in that trade, so they got him from Toronto. They sent Zach Still, which you're not notable, but then a second round pick and a fourth round pick. This was in, 2016. So, you think of, how shallow the Penguins prospect pool is and the picks that they've wasted on moves like that that just didn't seem great in the first place. And then, I don't know. But a lot of interesting storylines in the Olympics, a lot of Penguins ties. Before we go, we have to acknowledge the recording this on Wednesday. Jared McCann and the Seattle Kraken are coming to town. And I am sure maybe not a lot of Penguins fans have been following Seattle just because, out west, but Jared McCann is their leading scorer. He leads in goals and points, 16 goals, 25 points. That's already a career high in goals. Not quite yet. And I think he's like maybe 10 points away from a career high. But just what do you think of him going out there having a career year and just being such a huge fit in Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, good for him, you know, and he even said too, I feel like I remember, you know, because he was with what, 3 teams in 4 years, something to that extent. Yeah. He kind of just, you know, bounced around a little bit. Obviously was loved in Pittsburgh, and it was a love and hate. I feel like there was a little bit of money. He was going through his goal scoring drought, the full, what was it, the full calendar year where he didn't score a goal. Like, that obviously weighs on you. But for we do see this too when you see expansion teams, like guys kind of going somewhere else and getting the chance to revitalize their career, you know, be that key guy. I mean, you know, McCann never would have been the leading goal scorer on this team. I mean, maybe he would have been up there, and, you know, we've seen the production from him, but, you know, good for him to kind of be in Seattle and kind of finding that niche and, you know, having that fan base. I mean, I think that's the coolest thing for some of these guys too, is you look at these fan bases, you look at Seattle, where, you know, it's hockey is something people up there have wanted for so long. They want reasons to root for a team. You know, those fans have bought in, and, you know, they're, it kind of has like that ride or die feel where it's like, these are my guys. I love it. So, and I feel like too, if you're a player like Jared McCann that had bounced around, like that's kind of the perfect fan base to go to and to be a part of. And, you know, in your inaugural year, in this team's inaugural year, to have the season that he's having, you know, I mean, that's something these fans are like latching on to this and latching onto him. And, you know, how cool for him. I'll be intrigued to see if what the tribute video looks like. And I'll also be intrigued, we were talking about this, to see, does Brandon Tanev make the trip to say hello to his buddy, old pal, Kasperi Kapanen?
Yeah, so I would not expect a tribute video. So ever since the Penguins won the back-to-back cups, they have kind of had, that's the bar for, to get an actual video, you had to have won a cup. So some teams definitely like abuse the tribute video.
Sorry, that's what I love the video, the, like, you know, salute. Hey, Jared McCann.
Sometimes, so they will do that. They'll put up like a welcome back, Jared McCann, you know.
That's
Brandon Tanev. But he won't get like a full video. That wasn't always the case. Some teams definitely like overdo it, and it kind of loses.
Yeah. Its,
but I remember there's a James Neal, after the Penguins traded him, his first game back, and we're hearing they had a tribute video made, but, and you know, normally they pick like a TV timeout to do that one, but the reception James Neal had gotten before that came, he was getting booed every time he touched the puck, so they didn't air that video.
It was just
they might, I'm sure they'll get recognized, or at least McCann if Tanev's not there on the video board. But I mean, this is his fourth team, Vancouver, Florida, Pittsburgh, and now Seattle. I think this is, when a young guy bounces around like that, I think fans automatically assume that, like, oh, something must be wrong with him. There's a reason why he's on his fourth team this amount of time, you know, when he's so young, whether it's, you know, his play or an issue in the locker room. McCann was like the nicest guy. I don't think that's it. Yeah. But that's why I don't think that's something you can ever like put too much stock in, just because sometimes you just need a great fit. Now he's in Seattle and he seems to have found that. And because when the Penguins got Alex Nylander from Chicago, you know, he's pretty young. This is his third organization. There were some fans who were like, you know, there must be a reason for that he's bounced around so much. And it seems like he just didn't find the right fit. And at least now, I mean, he's played 11 games in Wilkes-Barre. He has 10 points. I mean, before the trade this year, he was in the AHL with Rockford, and he had 12 in 23. So it just seems like where he is right now is a much bigger fit than he was, you know, in past organizations. So, yeah, sometimes that's just all it is, and it seems like that's what was the case of Jared McCann. So, yeah, it'll that's the Thursday game. Yeah, it'll be, I guess when you're listening to this, if you listen to this before the game. But, yeah, it'll be nice to see him back. Hopefully he gets a nice ovation from the crowd at least. Good time to wrap it up. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Podcast on Fifth Avenue. Episodes drop every Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts. We have a YouTube channel too, where you can watch them, but Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you can find us. And we hope you'll join us next week.